بسم الله الرحمن العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إله الأولين والآخرين. وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد. Welcome to this week's Quranic progression lesson. And as mentioned, I think now for the last couple of weeks, inshallah ta'ala, today's lesson will be the final lesson of this academic year. So alhamdulillah, this was QP year 7, our 7th academic year, alhamdulillah, of doing Quranic tafsir. And inshallah ta'ala, as we said, this is going to be our last lesson for this term. So a couple of announcements that I wanted to make before we begin. The first one is, obviously, as per usual, we break over the summer. So what happens for those of you that are new to QP, or you've not joined before, we now break for a number of months until around September. So just like a normal university kind of break. So universities are kind of finishing now around this period of time. And so we kind of keep to the same type of university academic year in terms of the summer break. So we will break now. We're coming into May. So May, June, July, August, so 4 months. And then sometime in September, inshallah ta'ala, we will resume. During the summer, at some point, there will be a number of revision sessions. So every summer, we also have exams for the previous year. So what we covered in tafsir over the last 9, 7, 8 months, whatever it's been, then inshallah ta'ala, there will be an exam of that or for that. And that exam, before the exam, there will be a couple of revision sessions. So the revision sessions and the exam, as per usual, inshallah, all of that will be announced on the Telegram group. So I would ask that over the summer you keep an eye on that. Any important announcements, anything else that takes place, inshallah, everything will be announced on the Telegram group. I think there's only a couple of emails that are sent out. So Telegram is the place that you need to be in terms of just keeping up to date. And obviously then the starting date for QP 8, inshallah ta'ala, in September will also be announced on the Telegram groups. That's the first announcement. The second announcement I was asked to tell you is that tomorrow in the logical progression class with Sheikh Isa, there's going to be a special announcement. So there's going to be a special announcement, and I've been told that it will be a good idea, especially for the sisters, to attend and to tune into that lesson. So either, you know, I don't know if he's in the UK or not, but either you attend in person if he is, or you attend online. And that's because I think he has a very special announcement in terms of something which is more particular and more relevant to the sisters that are part of the LPQP family. Inshallah ta'ala, there's going to be an exciting announcement. I hope that there is. I hope they don't change the plan, because that will look silly then. But either way, I think you'll get an update. So inshallah ta'ala, if you tune in, it's going to be something which is exclusive. So I think that it's not suitable for everyone in terms of time zone, but I think it would be a good idea for those of you that can to tune in live, if that's possible. So those are the two announcements that I was asked to make. So inshallah ta'ala, today we're going to try to cover at least the next two verses of Surah Al-Takwir. So last week, we covered verses 4 and 5, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about two more signs of the Day of Judgment. And one of them was the Ishar, the pregnant she-camel that's going to be abandoned and neglected. And we said the Ishar refers to the pregnant she-camel that is close to full term. So it's about 10 months into its pregnancy of the 12 or 13 months that is the normal pregnancy of a camel. And how, despite the Arabs loving that type of wealth, that it was something which was very precious to them, very valuable in their eyes, on this day, people will abandon, neglect it, they won't care anything for it, and that is because of everything else that is taking place. And then in verse number 5, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned the wuhush, wa idhal wuhushu hushirat, the wild beasts that are herded together. Can someone just confirm that I actually covered verse number 5? I think that I did. I think that we did verse number 5 as well, but just in the chat, just in case that I missed something, please let me know. But as far as I can remember, we covered verse number 5. Also, we spoke about the wuhush, how the animals are resurrected. We mentioned a number of different verses and a hadith, as Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala mentions, that are evidence for this, that Allah Azza wa Jalla, just as He will resurrect the humans and the jinn, that the animals are also resurrected. And He mentions a number of verses, a number of a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that point to this. And then we also mentioned the meaning of what Allah Azza wa Jalla is referring to here, and how the animals are going to be herded together whether that means that they will be resurrected, whether that means that they will be together, whether it means that they will mix with one another. So I think we covered that last week, inshallah. So in today's lesson, we're going to continue from verse number 6, and then hopefully, inshallah, verse number 7. In verse number 6, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ. The translation of Dr. Mustafa Khattab, and when the seas are set on fire. And in Sahih International, when the seas are filled with flame. And Professor Abdul Halim, when the seas boil over. And Muhsin Khan, when the seas become as blazing fire or overflow. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse number 6, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions to us another sign that will take place from the signs of Yawm al-Qiyamah. This is the last now of the signs. So I remember, as we said, I think at the beginning of the tafsir of the surah, or the second lesson, we mentioned the statement of Ibn Ashur, rahimahullah ta'ala, how he mentioned that Allah Azza wa Jal gives to us 12 signs in this surah. And he says there are six and six. Six to do with the signs that happen as the trumpet is blown, and six then when Yawm al-Qiyamah takes place, meaning when the people are resurrected. So this is the last of the six now. So we've covered six verses. This is number six now. وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ. And it's to do with the seas and the oceans. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to us the sun, mentioned to us the stars, mentioned to us the mountains, mentioned to us the she-camels, mentioned to us the wild animals, and now Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions to us the seas. There are two recitations or two qira'at when it comes to this verse, and all of them, or both of them, pertain to the last word in this verse, sujirat. It is read as sujirat with a shadda on the jim by the majority of the qurra. So 7 of the 10 qurra read it that way, and 3 of the 10, the remaining 3, read it without the shadda. So instead of sujirat, they say sujirat. Sujirat. Without the shadda on the jim, and those 3 Qurra are Ibn Kathir, Abu Amr, and Ya'qub. Ibn Kathir from Mecca, Abu Amr and Ya'qub, both of them being from Basra. And the meaning is very similar, because the with the Shadda and without the Shadda, it is just that the Shadda, the addition of the Shadda makes it a more eloquent form of the word, right? And so when it's something which is set aflame, Sujirat is set aflame, or you know, like violently set aflame, right? So it's just a more eloquent word, or a more eloquent form of the same word. And that's the general principle in Arabic language, that the ziyada, an addition in terms of the letters of the word, an addition in the letter, because remember the shadda is actually two jeems that have been merged. That's the asl, that's the origin of what the shadda denotes. That is a jeem with a sukoon and a jeem with a fatha, or a jeem in this case with a kasra, sujirat. The two jeems, the one with the sukun and the one with the kasra, have been merged together. So an addition in the letters of the word refers to an addition in the meaning that it is a more eloquent form, that it's like an extra form. So just like in English, you would say hot, very, very hot. Like it's just an addition in terms of the meaning, a more eloquent stressing of the word. That is the same in the Arabic language. So this is what Allah Azza wa Jal is referring to here. What does this mean? وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ. What will happen to these seas and these oceans? And Imam al-Tabari rahimahullah ta'ala mentions a number of different positions amongst the Salaf as to what it refers to, and he mentions three positions. The first of them being that it refers to the, as you can see in all of the translations, it refers to the seas and the oceans being set aflame, being set ablaze. As he says, وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ اشْتَعَلَتْ نَارًا وَحَمِيَتْ. It is when they will be turned, or they will be set aflame, and they will become fire. And this is the position of a number of the scholars of tafsir. In fact, the majority of the scholars of tafsir, in terms of their statements, allude to this. It is mentioned by Sa'id ibn Musayyib, rahimahullah ta'ala, from the famous scholars of the Tabi'een, that he said that Ali radiallahu anhu once asked a man from amongst the Jews, Aina Jahannam, a Jewish man, Aina Jahannam, where is the hellfire? He said, Al-Bahr. He said, it is in the sea. فَقَالَ مَا أَرَاهُ إِلَّا صَادِقًا. So Ali replied, I think that he speaks the truth. And then he said, وَالْبَحْرُ الْمَسْجُورُ وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِرَتْ. He said, as Allah mentions in the Quran in this verse, that Allah will set it aflame and ablaze. And we mentioned this before. So we mentioned this in Surah Al-Infitar. We mentioned this in other surahs, that it was the position of some of the scholars that the fire is beneath us, that it's at the core of the earth or below the seven earths, right? As you go down, that's where you see the fire. That's the position of some of the scholars. And so from that then, they take this position that because the fire is beneath us, that on Yawm Al-Qiyamah, Allah Azza wa Jalla will allow that fire, or some of anyway, a portion of that fire, or some of the fire, or the heat of the fire to rise until it comes to the oceans and the seas, and it will set them ablaze, meaning that it will dry out the water. And that's something which therefore shows you, as we mentioned, that the earth becomes a flat plain. يَوْمَ تُبَدَّرُ الْأَرْضُ غَيْرَ الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتِ, on the day that the heavens and the earth will be changed to a different heavens and earth. So just as the mountains are completely taken down, right, as we mentioned, وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُيِّرَتْ, the mountains vanish and the earth becomes flat, then likewise there is no water left upon the earth. And if you can imagine, because the vast majority of the surface of the earth, as we know, is water, it's sea and ocean. If you can imagine all of that water, with the millions of liters in terms of depth that the water of the oceans, the seas, the rivers, the streams, the waterfalls, the canals, all of this water, it is set ablaze. And so all of it is set ablaze to the extent that there is nothing of it that remains. Imagine then the type of heat that would be needed in order for that to take place. And so this is the statement of Ali radiallahu anhu, as mentioned by Sa'id ibn Musayyib rahimahullah ta'ala, from the scholars of the Tabi'een. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma also said that Allah Azza wa Jal will diminish the light of the sun and the moon and the stars by placing it into the sea. And then Allah will send upon it a violent wind, and that wind will make the sea water turn into fire. And that is the meaning of Allah's statement, وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ, when the seas will be set ablaze. Ibn Zayd rahimahullah ta'ala said something very similar. He said, إِنَّهَا تُوْقَدُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, that it will be set ablaze on the Day of Judgment. And he said, and that is what they say, that the meaning of this word, التسجير, because as we will see, there is a difference of opinion as to what this word refers to in the essence of the Arabic language. What's its original meaning? So he said that this is one of them, right? At tasjir, it is to set something alight, right? And so when you make tasjir of something, it is to set it alight, to strike the match, to set it alight, right? And that's why in the common Arabic language today, they call cigarette in the Arabic language sijara. Right, sijara, because it's something which you set alight in order to smoke. Shimr ibn Atiyah rahimahullah ta'ala said, it is also similar to the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal in Surah Al-Tur, وَالْبَحْرِ الْمَسْجُورِ أي بِمَنْزِلَةِ التَّنُّورِ الْمَسْجُورِ. It's almost as if that Allah Azza wa Jal, when he says that the seas will be set ablaze, it is like the tanur. The tanur is the oven, the clay oven, right, that people build into the fire, just like in some places they cook their bread in a clay oven that they dig into the ground, like a tandoor, right? They put their flour or their chapatis or whatever it may be, their bread, and they cook it into, as Allah Azza mentions this in the Quran, right? We have in the story of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, as mentioned in Surah Hud, for example, wafarat tanur, that the earth, when Allah Azza commanded that the flood should come, it came from above and it came from below. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَفَارَتْ تَنُّورِ, that from, even according to some of the scholars of tafsir, the meaning is that from, even from those clay pots, or those clay ovens rather, that are built into the ground, water started to emerge from them. Just to show you how rampant that water was, that it came from every crevice and every hole in the ground. And that water would come up, just as the water of the heavens descended down upon the people of Nuh, alayhi salatu wassalam. And so he says that this is the meaning here, that it will be like that tanur, meaning that it will be lit a fire. The water is almost as if it's in an oven, and it's going to be lit a fire, and therefore it's going to be set ablaze. And this is also the statement of Sufyan. He said, uqidat, it will be set ablaze. Wahab said something similar, sujiratil biharu nara, that it will be turned into fire. Mujahid rahimahullah ta'ala also said the same thing, uqidat, it will be set ablaze and set a fire. And so that's one of the positions amongst the scholars of tafsir. The second position amongst the scholars of tafsir, as mentioned by Imam al-Tabari rahimahullah ta'ala, is that they will be overflowing, right? They will be overflowing. And this was the position of Rabi' ibn Khuthaym, rahimahullah ta'ala, from the scholars of the Tabi'een also, that he said its meaning is fadat. Some of the scholars of tafsir of the position, and this is mentioned in some of the narrations, and I think they're most likely to be Judeo-Christian, Israeliyat, Israelite traditions. And they say that some of the narrations mention that all of the oceans and all of the seas will be poured into one. The water of all of them will be poured into one, and that is what then will be set ablaze. Fadat, meaning that it will be overly. And that is, by the way, one of the meanings of the word sujirat also, al-masjur, wal-bahri al-masjur, that it's full, as mentioned by al-Kalbi, that the word masjur in the Arabic language means fadat or muniat, that is going to be filled, meaning poured and poured and poured and poured until there is nothing left, meaning of the water of the earth, and that is what then is set ablaze. And this is also reported from al-Dahhak. And that's also possible, because Allah Azza wa Jalla here, when He says وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ, just as He says وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ, Allah Azza wa Jalla only mentions them in the singular form. These words are not mentioned in the plural form, right? Because when Allah Azza wa Jalla wants to mention them in the plural form, although it is a plural, وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ, it is a plural, but it's not the most eloquent form of the plural. And so that's what some of the scholars said, that it's the seas that are being set ablaze, but they're being put into a single pool of water, or all added into a single ocean, and that is what then is set ablaze. The third position that is then mentioned by some of the scholars of tafsir, and also as quoted by Imam al-Tabari, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he said, and by the way, just going on to that second position, this was also the position of Mujahid, but not in this verse, in the verse in Surah Al-Tur, وَالْبَحْرِ الْمَسْجُورِ, when Allah takes an oath by the ocean, that is al-masjur, Mujahid said that it means that it is filled. Another scholars of tafsir said, أَفْضَى بَعْضُهَا إِلَىٰ بَعْضٍ فَصَارَتْ بَحْرًا وَاحِدًا, that the water will be taken from all of the oceans and poured into one until it becomes a single ocean, and that is what then is set ablaze. The third position amongst the scholars of tafsir is that the water of it will disappear. The water of it will disappear so that not even a single drop remains. Al-Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah ta'ala, said, ذَهَبَ مَاءُهَا فَلَا يَبْقَى قَطْرًا. It will be so that the water of it will disappear, meaning it will evaporate, and not a single drop of it will remain. And he also said something similar in another wording of his. He said, سُجِّرَتْ إِيَّبِسَتْ. سُجِّرَتْ means that it will run dry. It will be completely dry. And Qatada, rahimahullah ta'ala, said something very similar, ذَهَبَ مَاءُهَا فَلَمْ يَبْقَى فِيهَا قَطْرًا, that water will go until there is not a single drop that remains. And Qatada also has a second wording of the similar meaning. He says, غَارَ مَاءُهَا فَذَهَبْ, that its water will evaporate and go, and so nothing will remain from there. And Imam al-Tabari, rahimahullah ta'ala, then after mentioning all of this, he says that the one that is the strongest of them, and what he basically does is that he combines, as sometimes he does when he sees that these positions are all very similar, even though their wordings are the same or different, but actually what they're referring to is a single incident, but just different parts. And as we've mentioned now numerous times in our tafsir classes, this is from the methodologies of tafsir, especially amongst the Salaf, that the way that they would do tafsir is by explaining a single aspect of what is going to occur. So it doesn't mean that it's exclusive, but it means that it's basically a single aspect of what's taking place. Just like you were to ask someone, oh, how was your day today? Someone may describe it in terms of the weather, it was nice and sunny and bright. Some people may mention it in terms of what they ate, some of them in terms of what they did, but it's all referring to the same thing. So this is also what some of the scholars, or the scholars of tafsir, especially amongst the Salaf, often used to do in their tafsir. So Imam al-Tabari, you will often see part of his methodologies when he can see this, he just takes it all, reconciles it, brings it all together and says, this is the tafsir. So as an example of that now, you will see in this verse, he says that the meaning, therefore, or what is the strongest of these three positions, is that what Allah Azza wa Jalla is referring to is that the water will be added together of the seas and the oceans until it is overflowing. That is then what will be set ablaze until nothing of it remains. Those are the three positions. The second position of Rabi' ibn Khuthaym was that it's going to be joined together and overflow. The first position, as we said of the majority, Ali, Ibn Abbas, Mujahid, others, was that it was going to be set ablaze. And the third position, as we said, as was mentioned from Qatad al-Hassan al-Basri, is that nothing of it remains. And Imam al-Tabari, what does he do? He says they're all referring to the same thing. All of it's going to be added together, So those scholars were speaking about the first stage. It's going to be set ablaze. That's like the main occurrence. That's the main thing happening, which is why the majority spoke about the aspect. And other scholars spoke about the end result, and that is that nothing of that water remains, as mentioned by Al-Hasan al-Basri al-Qatada alayhima rahmatullah. So Imam al-Tabari rahimahullah ta'ala, as he often does, he just joins or combines between all of this, and he says, well, there you go, that is the tafsir. And that's a very nice way of making tafsir, because what it does is it removes a great deal of confusion. Because one of the problems that we have, especially today in tafsir, you will often find this now, especially in people's teaching and people's writing and people's lessons, they will often say, well, there's a great deal of difference of opinion amongst the scholars of tafsir concerning this, amongst the early scholars, by the way. And that's not the case. The early scholars actually didn't differ so greatly as people think that they did. Just because you have 20 different statements, all of them with slightly different wordings, doesn't mean that they are speaking about different things. They can actually be referring to the same thing, but people obviously have their own words and expressions, especially in those days, before things are written down and codified, and it's easier for people just to repeat the same words and the same parlance that everyone is using. That's one of the benefits of having that codification. And that's something which you find, for example, in the books of fiqh, the terminology that is then used by the scholars and the jurists becomes almost singular, right? It becomes something which everyone uses, because that just becomes a standard. Well, amongst the Salaf, you don't have that standard. Not in tafsir, not in fiqh, not in many things. So often people confuse their own personal words and expressions as being something which is a difference of opinion. And we mentioned this in one of the Isnad courses that we did. We did the introduction to the sciences of tafsir by Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala. And he mentions this position very clearly as being one of the methodologies of the Salaf when it comes to tafsir. And you see this, as I said, very clearly in the tafsir of Imam al-Tabari rahimahullah ta'ala, because he will often do this. He will often just join between them and say, well, all of it's tafsir, right? All of it is correct. This is what all of the scholars are agreeing upon. They don't actually differ. They're just describing the same event in slightly different terms, looking at it from different stages, right? You can speak about something from the beginning stage, from the middle stage, from the end stage, but you're still describing a singular event. So that is what Imam al-Tabari rahimahullah ta'ala did in his conclusion. And I think that is a very good conclusion to make, and Allah Azza wa Jal knows best. So one of the signs of Yawm al-Qiyamah then, as we mentioned before in Surah al-Infitar, وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ فُجِّرَتْ, Allah said that they will almost explode. And that's because of the severity of how they will be set ablaze. One of the signs of Yawm al-Qiyamah then is that the water will also be removed from the earth. And remember that the people on Yawm al-Qiyamah will be experiencing extreme thirst, to the extent that the people on that day, because of the sweat and the heat and because of the pressure and the tension and the state of terror that the people are in, they will be in a state of extreme thirst. And that will continue with them for so long as they stand on that plane of Yawm al-Qiyamah. For the believers, they will have a quenching of that thirst when they come to the pond of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Hawd, because as is mentioned in a number of ahadith, the Prophet said sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he will serve his ummah from his Hawd. Its cups will be like the number of stars in the sky. When someone comes, he will draw water from his pond, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He will serve that person from his ummah, his follower. The Prophet said, whoever drinks from that water, لَمْ يَظْمَأْ بَعْدَهُ أَبَدًا, that person will never again experience thirst. So for the believers, there is a quenching of the thirst. But for the disbelievers, they remain in that state until they are thrown into the fire. And in the fire, as they are being experiencing all of the different types of punishment and horror, and the different things that Allah Azza wa Jalla has prepared for the people of the fire, may Allah save us from that. From that is the drink that they will then be given because of how thirsty they are. And that will be the pus and the boiling water of the fire, as is mentioned in a number of verses in the Quran. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla, in order to do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes the water from the earth. So no one can go and drink, no one can go and quench their thirst. There will be no water on that day except the water that Allah gives. There is no shade on that day except the shade that Allah gives. There is no respite on that day except the respite that Allah Azza wa Jal gives. That is how Yawm al-Qiyamah will be. And that is why all of these affairs, as you can see, they are so major in and of themselves. Not only because of the event of the water, for example, being set ablaze of the earth, or the mountains being removed, or the animals being abandoned, or whatever it may be, but not only because of the event itself, but also because of what it signifies. What the event signifies in terms of the standing on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So that is the position of the scholars of tafsir in terms of that particular verse. We then come on to verse number 7. And in verse number 7, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ. The translation of Dr. Mustafa Khattab, and when the souls and their bodies are paired once more. And Sahih International, when the souls are paired. Professor Abdul Harim, when souls are sorted into classes. And Muhsin Khan, when the souls are joined with their bodies, and then in brackets, the good with the good, the bad with the bad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse number 7 now begins to mention the next stage. And the next stage is the stage of Yawm al-Qiyamah. Ibn Ashur, rahimahullah ta'ala, said his statement, وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ, now starts to speak about the second half of these signs. And those are the signs that will take place, meaning these are the next six now, that will take place once the people have been resurrected. What is the first of these six signs then, in terms of the people's resurrection, once they are resurrected on Yawm al-Qiyamah? وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ. It is when the souls will be sorted into classes. We have two positions as to what this refers to. The first position, which is the majority position in terms of the statements of the scholars of tafsir, at least from what I found, is that Allah Azza wa Jalla is referring to them from the translations. Probably the closest one is Professor Abdul Harim's, and that is the souls are being sorted into classes, meaning that they are going to be categorized. وَإِذَن نُفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ. The word زُوِّجَتْ or تَزْوِيج is to pair or to join. And that's why in the Arabic language, marriage is called zawaj, because it is a pairing. It is a joining of two people, of a husband and wife. And so that is what happens in the Arabic language. That is something which is mentioned. The word zuwijat is to pair. So then nufus zuwijat. What is this pairing? What is this joining that's taking place? The first position amongst the scholars of tafsir is that it's referring to the types of souls. Ulhiqa, as Imam al-Tabari said, ulhiqa kullu insanin bishaklih wa qurina bayna ad-durabai wal-amthal. Every soul shall be joined with those that are similar to it, and those that are similar in terms of categories, in terms of class, will be joined together. This is the position of the first position, and the position, as you will see, a number of the scholars of tafsir held. It's reported that Umar radiallahu anhu, and this is reported from Umar, by the way, in a number of different narrations and wordings that I mentioned, a couple of them. Umar radiallahu anhu said in the tafsir of this verse, and in some narrations of this, it is a question that he is asked. And in some narrations, he asks the question to see what people will say, and then he responds to their question. وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ, he says, it is the two people who do different actions, so one of them will enter because of that, Jannah, and the other one will enter because of it, the fire. Or, in other wordings, that there are two people that do the same action, but one of them will enter paradise and one of them will enter the fire. And that is because Allah Azza wa Jalla will pair the people, meaning with those people that are similar to them, on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And that's why in the other wording of Umar radiallahu anhu, which is probably slightly clearer, he says that a person will be joined, or a righteous person will be joined with another righteous person in Jannah, and an evil person will be joined with other evil people in the fire. And so the joining here is basically to do with categories. The people of Jannah will be with the people of Jannah, the people of the fire will be with the people of the fire. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he mentions also in the Quran, فَرِيقٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَفَرِيقٌ فِي السَّعِيرُ. There will be a party in paradise and a party in the fire. And so each one according to that which they earned, that which they did, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Yawm al-Qiyamah will bring the people together, meaning the believers will be with the believers, and the people of the fire will be with the people of the fire. And that's why, as is mentioned in some hadith, some narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that on Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell the people, the Prophet said that Allah azza wa jalla on Yawm al-Qiyamah will tell the people that each person should follow that which they worship. So the people that worship Jesus will go towards Jesus, and the people that worship the sun and the moon go towards the sun and the moon, and everyone that worshiped a God besides Allah will go, until only the believers and amongst them the hypocrites will remain standing. And when Allah will ask them, what is it that you're waiting for? They will say, we'll wait for our Lord to come to us, because you commanded us, or every person followed the Lord and the God that they worship, we're waiting for our Lord to come so that we may follow him. And so every group is joined with those that they are with. Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما said in the tafsir of this verse, وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ. He said, and that is when the people will be of three types. حِينَ يَكُونُ النَّاسُ أَزْوَاجًا ثَلَاثًا. It will be when the people will be of three types. The three types here that he's mentioning is the three categories that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Waqi'ah. In Surah Al-Waqi'ah, Allah Azza wa Jal categorizes people into three. And this categorization is found elsewhere also, not just in Surah Al-Waqi'ah. For example, Allah Azza wa Jal says, ثُمَّ أَوْرَثْنَا الْكِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفِينَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا. We then caused those that we chose from our servants to inherit the book. فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. There are those who oppress themselves. وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدْ. And those that are in the middle path. وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. And those who are at the forefront by Allah's permission. That shows that their levels even amongst the believers. So these three categories that he's referring to are the categories that you find in Surah Al-Waqi'ah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Waqi'ah classifies people into three. The first two are from the people of Jannah, the first two categories, and the last one is from the people of the fire. And so therefore, there is no contradiction between this verse and that verse that I mentioned earlier, فَرِيقٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَفَرِيقٌ فِي السَّعِيرِ. A party in paradise and a party in the fire. That's a general word, a general verse that speaks about the general ruling that you're either in paradise or you're in the fire. But within each one of those two abodes and residences, there are stations and there are levels. Not everyone is the same. So in some verses and in some hadith, we see that there are actually a breakdown of the levels. So for example, like I mentioned in that verse, that there's three types of believers, those who oppress themselves, those who just do what they need to do, and those who go over and above. That's the levels of the believers, all of them eventually going to Jannah, because they're all believers, but they are of different levels within Jannah. Likewise in the fire, doesn't Allah tell us in the Quran, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ, that the hypocrites will be in the lowest depths of the fire. Didn't the Prophet tell us, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that amongst the people that will have the least punishment in the fire will be his uncle Abu Talib, and the least people in punishment of the fire are those who have their fire up to their ankles and because of it their brain boils. And so these are hadith and verses that show that there are different levels. So likewise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala categorizes people in Surah Al-Waqi'ah. The first category in Surah Al-Waqi'ah is As-Sabiqoon As-Sabiqoon. Those who are at the forefront, As-Sabiq is the one that is at the front. He's a forerunner. He's the one that, as Allah says in the Quran, وَسَابِقُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ. Race, hurry, compete with one another for the forgiveness of your Lord and for Jannah. These are the people that did so. So Allah calls them the Sabiqoon. The Sabiqoon are those people that are at the front of the race. They're the people that excel. They're the people that do the most. They're the people that don't only just stick to the wajib and the obligatory and the minimum, but they will go over and above. They will do as many nawafil as they can. They will give extra charity and they will pray extra prayers and they will read as much Quran as they can and they will fast throughout the year and they will do as many good deeds as they can accumulate in the best way possible. Those people are as-sabiqoon as-sabiqoon. Ula'ika al-muqarrabun. Those are the people that Allah will draw closest to Him. They will have the highest levels and the highest rewards of Jannah. We then have the second category that's also in Jannah, and that is ashabul yameen, the people of the right. Meaning the people that are given the record in their right hands, as we mentioned in Surah Al-Inshiqaq, people that are given their record in their right hands, those are the people of the right side. And those people are also honored. They're also in Jannah, but they will not be of the levels and the reward of those people that are from the Sabiqoon. The Sabiqoon have the highest levels of Jannah, because as the Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Jannah is of 100 levels in some hadith. Another hadith seemed to say that there are more. But either way, there are many levels. Every level is like the distance of the heavens and the earth. Just one level. And Allah has placed many levels within Jannah. May Allah give us the highest of those levels, Al-Firdaus. So anyway, the point being here, that's the second category, Ashabul Yameen, the people of the right. The third category then that we have is Ashabul Shimal, the people of the left, and those are the people of the fire, as is mentioned in that verse. The people that were given their record in the left hand, they are the people of the fire. They are the people then that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish in the fire. And obviously, as we said, even within the fire, there are categories and levels and depths and so on. But the point is that all of those people are in the fire. And so Umar radiallahu an went for the general categorization that people will be with the people of Jannah, with the people of Jannah, the people of the fire, with the people of the fire. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma does something very similar, but he went to another part of the Quran. using a different passage in Surah Al-Waqi'ah and mentioned that there are three categories. But the meaning is the same, because the people that are with the Sabiquna, that are from the Sabiquna with the Sabiqun, the people of the right, Ashab al-Yameen, are with the people of the right, the people of the left, Ashab al-Shimal, are with the people of the left. The meaning is the same. And this is again another example of how the Salaf spoke about the same issue, just from different angles. Umar and Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhum are speaking about the same thing. They're speaking about people being categorized and joined with people that are similar to them. However, one of them looks at it from the general verse in the Quran, a party in paradise, a party in the fire. The other one looks at another passage in the Quran that says the same thing, but it just goes into more detail concerning the people of paradise, because it categorizes them into those of the high levels and those of the lower levels, right? And that's something which is done a number of times in the Quran. Like, for example, in Surah Ar-Rahman, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions also in the Quran, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ. Those people that fear the standing before their Lord, for them will be two gardens. And then Allah says, after that passage concerning them, وَمِن دُونِهِمَا جَنَّتَانِ. And below them are another two gardens. So therefore, there are people that will have the higher gardens, people that will have the lower gardens, the higher stations and the lower stations. So that is the statement of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah ta'ala said something very similar. Ulhiqa kullu mri'in bi shi'atihi. Every person will be joined together with his party, with his group. Mujahid rahimahullah ta'ala said something very similar. Al-amthalu min al-nasi jumi'a baynahum. Those that are similar from amongst the people, the creation, will be joined together. Meaning people will be classified and categorized and joined with those people that they are similar to, and those people that they will be with in terms of their abode and their residence. Qatada rahimahullah ta'ala said something very similar. Lahiqa kullu insanin bi shi'atihi al-yahudu bil-yahudi wa nasara bil-nasara. Every person will be joined together with their group, with their people. The Jews will be with the Jews, the Christians will be with the Christians, and obviously therefore the Muslims with the Muslims, and so on and so forth. And so every person is with their own group of people. To the extent, as we mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that amongst the Muslims, even the hypocrites are added with them, because in terms of the apparent ruling, they were with them. They look like Muslims, behave like Muslims, had Muslim names and so on. And so they took the rulings of the Muslims. It is only later on, then, or further on, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then differentiate between the believers and between the hypocrites, the munafiqeen. And so therefore that is a later stage. And so Qatada rahimahullah ta'ala, his position seems to go back to the hadith, as I said, that Allah will say to the people on the day of judgment, every person follow their God, go to that which they worship. So the Jews will go with their with the Jews, the Christians with the Christians, the Sikh with the Sikh, the Hindus, everyone that worship whatever they worship, they will go with their people towards their God, even the people that worship the sun, the moon, the stars, whatever it may be. And only the believers will remain. Only the believers will remain until Allah Azza wa Jal comes to them in a form that they recognize, as is mentioned in that hadith. And Rabi' ibn Khuthaym rahimahullah ta'ala also says something very similar. يُحْشَرُ الْمَرْءُ مَعَ صَاحِبِ عَمَلِهِ. A person will be resurrected with the people of similar deeds and actions. People of similar deeds and actions. Even for the people of Jannah, by the way, an interesting point here in terms of being gathered together, we have a hadith that seemed to intimate that there are, even amongst the believers, levels. So just as amongst the disbelievers, the Jews are with the Jews, the Christians with the Christians, and so on, while even amongst the believers, the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, when he spoke about the gates of Jannah, there will be 8 gates to Jannah. So the people of prayer will be called from the gate of prayer, and the people of sadaqah from the gate of sadaqah, and the people of fasting from the gate of ar-rayyan, and so on and so forth. And that's the hadith where Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu then asks, O Messenger of Allah, will anyone be invited to enter from all of those gates on Yawm al-Qiyamah? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Na'am wa arju an takuna minhum. He said, yes, and I hope that you will be from amongst them, O Abu Bakr. And so therefore, even though all of these people are people of Jannah, they will also be categorized in terms of their deeds. And this is what Al-Rabi' ibn Khuthaym rahimahullah ta'ala seems to be saying, that they will be resurrected with their people. The point here being, all of this goes back to that same heading that Imam al-Tabari mentioned. And that is, وَإِذَن نُفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ, that the people will be brought together with similar people to them. So it's about the categorization of people on Yawm al-Qiyamah, how they will be classified and categorized together. the disbelievers with the disbelievers, the believers with the believers, and even amongst the believers and disbelievers, a further subcategorization according to their faith, their religion, their actions, their deeds, and what have you. The second position then amongst some of the scholars of tafsir concerning this verse, where then nufusu zuwijat, as to what it refers to, some of the scholars said that what it refers to is the soul being joined again with the body. The soul being joined again with the body. The body, as we know, is something which over time decomposes when it's buried, right? Or it's burnt, or whatever happens to it. However a person dies and however their remains are disposed of, they're going to over time decompose. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserves is the soul. That is what stays in the grave in terms of either finding the blessings of Jannah within its grave, or the blessings of the grave and the rewards of it in the grave, or the punishment and the torment of the grave within it. That is what Allah Azza wa Jal keeps there. And even for those that are in Jannah, like the hadith that speak about the martyrs, that they will be in the bodies of green birds flying around Jannah and so on, it is the souls that are preserved, not the bodies, but rather the souls. But on Yawmul Qiyamah, when Allah Azza wa Jal resurrects people, He will resurrect their bodies so that the souls will go back into them. So a person on Yawmul Qiyamah will not just be an ethereal experience. It's not just something which is spiritual. That's like, you know, there's nothing there. There's no formal body. It's just like all spiritual experience. No, they will actually have a body that they will also experience. That is mentioned in numerous verses in the Quran and the Sunnah. Numerous verses in terms of the punishment of the people of the fire and the way that they would experience that, in terms of their skin, in terms of their body parts, in terms of how they will be punished, and also in terms of the the people of Jannah and the reward that they will also experience. But on Yawm al-Qiyamah, that will then be also brought together again, the body and the soul. And that's what the majority of the translations said, like Mustafa Khattab, when the souls and bodies are paired once more. Sahih International said, when the souls are paired. Mahsin Khan said the souls are joined with the bodies, and then in brackets he put the good with the good and the bad with the bad, as if he wanted to use both of those tafsirs. And so pretty much all of the others went with this position. This position was mentioned by Ikrimah rahimahullah ta'ala. Ikrimah said, وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ قَالَ الْأَرْوَاحُ تُرْجَعُ إِلَى الْأَجْسَادِ. He said the meaning of this is that the spirits of the souls will be returned to the bodies. And Al-Sha'bi, rahimahullah ta'ala, Amir ibn Sharahil Al-Sha'bi is from the great scholars of the Tabi'een, also from the Imams of that generation, rahimahullah ta'ala, well known for his positions in tafsir and fiqh and what have you. He said the meaning of this verse is زُوِّجَتْ الْأَجْسَادِ فَرُدَّتِ الْأَرْوَاحُ فِي الْأَجْسَادِ. It is the souls and the bodies that will be paired together. Once again, the souls will be returned to their bodies. And both of these are true. As we said, both of them are supported in the Quran and in the Sunnah. And so therefore, the bodies will be returned to the souls will be returned to the bodies. And the people will also be categorized and classified on Yawm al-Qiyamah in terms of the believers being with the believers, the disbelievers being with the disbelievers. But the position chosen by Imam al-Tabari and many of the scholars of tafsir was the first, meaning that is the one that is being mentioned first and foremost in this verse. As Imam al-Tabari said, he said that I think that the first position is the one that is stronger in terms of what this verse is referring to, and that is because of the position of Umar radiallahu anhu and what he said concerning it. And that is that it's referring to a person's actions and their deeds and how Allah Azza wa Jal will categorize them and classify them on Yawmul Qiyamah. So this is the first of the signs, of the six signs that will come on the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will mention a number of other things that will take place. For example, Allah Azza wa Jal will speak, we're going to kind of pause here now because the next two verses are joined together. And so we don't have time to go through both of them now. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, will speak about the baby girl that was buried alive, as to why it was buried alive. And Allah Azza wa Jalla will mention about the unrolling of the scrolls. And Allah Azza wa Jalla will speak about the heavens, and Allah will speak about the fire, and Allah speak about paradise. All of these are signs that will take place Yawm al-Qiyamah once it has been established. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by mentioning the way that the people will be resurrected according to their deeds and their actions. That is how they will be gathered together. That is how they will be sorted and classified and categorized on that day. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the people of Iman, and with the people of Iman, and under the leadership of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on that day. So I think this is a good place for us to pause, inshallah ta'ala, so that we, because to begin the next verse will take us too long. So inshallah ta'ala, when we come back after the summer break, inshallah, we continue from verse number 8 of Surah At-Takwir, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. If there are any questions, therefore, I am happy to take some questions, inshallah, in the few minutes that we have left. Otherwise, inshallah, we can conclude. There's a question here: when all these signs are being implemented by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where would the dead bodies be? So as we said, when Yawm al-Qiyamah is established, the people fall, those that are dead already. And as for those that are living, they will fall unconscious. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when the trumpet is blown, فَفَزِعَ مَن فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَن فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا مَن شَاءَ اللَّهِ. Everything in the heavens and the earth will fall into terror except for that which Allah Azza wa Jal wills. And the scholars differ as to what Allah willed for. Is it, for example, Musa alayhi salam, as the Prophet salam said, that when he wakes up, he will be the first to wake up, and he will see Musa alayhi salam already clinging to the throne of Allah Azza wa Jal. Some of the scholars said that what's an exception to this is that which Allah created in Jannah. So maybe some of the angels, are exempted from this. What Allah created in Jannah, for example, the Hurul Een and the servants that are for the people of Jannah, because they will be exempted also. Others said, no, nothing is exempted. All of it will fall unconscious, and then Allah will resurrect them. And Allah knows best. Allah knows best. Will this punishment be for the people who are alive at the time, or for all of the dead and alive? No, it is only for the people that are living at that time. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, they are the worst of creation. Those upon whom Yawm al-Qiyamah is established, meaning they're living at that time, they are from the worst of people, or the worst of people, because at that time there will be no believers left. The believers already would have passed away. But the people, and all of this will happen suddenly, because then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will command that the next trumpet be blown. What is the distance, or what is the time frame between the two trumpets blown? Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu asked the Prophet ﷺ this question, and he said 40. 40. And then they asked him, either Abu Dharr or Abu Hurairah, they asked him, does that mean 40 days? Does it mean 40 weeks, 40 months, 40 years? He said, I don't know. He said 40, and no one asked, or no one sought to ask for what that 40 referred to. So that it will be a time between the two blowings of the trumpet, and so all of this perhaps will take place between that. And Allah Azza wa Jal knows best. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will command that the trumpet be blown again. فَإِذَا هُمْ قِيَامُ يَنْظُرُونَ. And the people will be standing, waiting to be judged before their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so inshallah we will conclude there. Barakallahu feekum. Inshallah ta'ala, I hope everyone has a good summer. May Allah protect you all and bless you all. Keep up with your studies of tafsir, and just generally reading Quran and learning as much as you can, inshallah, over the summer. Just because we take a break doesn't mean that you stop learning, but inshallah, do what you can, when you can, how you can. And inshallah ta'ala, I hope that we will see each other very soon in a few months, bi-idhnillah ta'ala, for our 8th year of Quranic progression. Barakallahu feekum. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.